Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast Sales Edition. I'm Tom. I'm back with Derek and Steve. What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hello there, folks.
Living the dream. Living the dream. So there's an old saying that people buy from those that they know, like, and trust. And I want to throw out there today that I think that like portion is a little overrated. It stirs things up here a little bit. So what say you? Steve, you said you could argue both sides of this.
Yeah, so. I sure can. So after thinking about this for a couple of minutes, I think this. You're right. People will buy ultimately from someone who they think can fix their problem, but with a caveat. If they don't like you, it doesn't matter what else they think, they're not going to hire you. So you can't be, and we've all seen contractors that are just such dicks that the people can't even get through their sales process to even let them go for the job. So yeah, what you know is, you know, is important, but man, I just put so much stress and we put so much emphasis on being the right contractor for them, I guess.
Derek, how about you, man?
My goal in the company and what we do socially is in our YouTube page is I want to show potential future team members for JVI Secret Gardens what our culture looks like. So I am trying to portray that you like us, not just because everybody's going to like us. I want to portray our company as you like personally for whatever your demographic, whatever your likes, dislikes in life and people and culture. Is I'm trying to show them who we are and coax them to want to work here. And with that being said, I've had multiple people in interviews, probably about the last year, ask about the culture. If I go years back, no one ever asked that. It was literally just, I just need a job. And now it's shifted, as we know, to people who are trying to have more of a work-life balance, if you will, work in a space that they really do enjoy. And what are some of those questions? I've had some people, and you can typically tell by their voice, they might be younger, you know, early 20s or something like that. I mean, I feel like I can tell sometimes. And they'll ask, what's the average age of your team member? And I was like, that's a very interesting question. What made you ask? He said, well, I kind of want to work with people that I might be able to hang out with outside of work as well as in work. And I was like, huh, never really thought about that. So I feel that people now, individuals, young men, young women, that they're trying to work for places that they really want to like the people that are there. More so than money right off the bat.
Let me give you a scenario that happens to me. It used to happen to me 10 years in a row. My kids, they're all grown up now. My youngest is 26. But as soon as they graduate from college, within a couple of years, their buddies from college now have a job at a financial firm. And so they call me up because they know I got money and they try to get me to give them some of the money so they can invest it. Now there's a case that I truly love these kids. I love them. I know who they are. I've known them for years, but they ain't no goddamn way I'm going to give them a penny because they don't know what I need them to know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So I'm thinking of two interactions recently. One, I hired somebody, and the other, I didn't hire somebody in the last year or so. One was a contractor. Their salesperson came over here for something we were doing inside the house. Did not like the sales guy one bit. Just threw up all over us. Talked about how cool his car was, you know, and his girlfriend's daughter is some nationally ranked volleyball player that I could give two shits about. Okay. Like, you know, the typical stuff, because I knew he was like trying to like find common ground, and it just became the me show, right? And he walked out, and the queen and I looked at each other and we're like, no freaking way. Well, what's funny is they had the most reviews, the best reviews, and I couldn't get anyone else to call me back. So by default, I actually hired that company, but not because of the salesperson. Okay. So that's one example. The other is, our wedding's coming up in August, and there's a venue here that we really wanted to get married at. And we did not choose the venue, even though it's highly ranked and all this other stuff, beautiful views in Colorado Springs and all this other stuff, because the salesperson, she was not likable. And her likability was like 50-50. But because I wasn't competent that she could meet our needs and really hear us out, we put the kibosh on that too. So ultimately, it's just kind of funny. I hired that other, I didn't like really either one of the salespeople, but I hired the one that I felt their company could most meet my need and do the thing. And they knocked it out of the park and did a great job. And the crew was awesome. So I could make the case both ways too. I think likability helps. It certainly helps. But I found for me, okay, here's a great example. Steve, when we started the sales training program, how many people really liked you?
All of them. Every single one of them.
I mean, I know we laugh about this, but it was like, I thought this guy was a total dick, but I thought he could help me. And they joined our program and their lives changed. Their bank accounts changed. And even today, I posted, I'm running a role play call tomorrow. And somebody posted, man, you hear Tom on the podcast, he's all in your face and he's this and this. And like, I was scared of him and I spent a day with him for some coaching and he's like a teddy bear. He really cares and all this other stuff. So sometimes we come across like you do, Steve, at least you used to, in your face, stir in the pot, poke in the hornet's nest, all those things, but you really care deep down about people and you help them get results. And that's why so many people have stayed. I mean, Derek, you were one of the first people that joined the sales training program and you remember that. How many people used to be like, yeah, I mean, till this day, they'll get on stage at one of our events. They're like, yeah, I first met Steve back in 2013, thought he was a total jerk, you know, didn't even like him, but I heard of this Shin Fu thing and blah, 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 you know? So I think it could go both ways. If what you want is really of value to you, I think you can overlook some of the characteristics of the initial likability shit.
So why did people not like Steve? Because he was honest.
He told the truth. Yeah.
That, you know, I don't like the guy that I have to go, oh, he's right.
That's and he was making like 8 times the money of every pond guy out there at the time. Right. Steve's holding up 10 figures. He's like, hey, it was 10.
Well, so you think of the arrogant factor, you know, he talked about money. Well, but it's based in truth. So it's like, okay, is it arrogance or is he just telling you what I'm doing? And what you're doing is the same industry, but for some reason I'm making 10 times the money you are. What's going on here? Are we just that fast? Like they're doing jobs in an hour that normally takes 12 hours. No, they just charge the right amount of money and then provided the experience. And, you know, so, but Steve's not like that with customers. That's what's different.
But it's
the industry. He's being honest. I mean, he's honest with customers, but in a little different way.
So I think it's both, right? I think if you want to sell at the highest levels, be an elite salesperson, you have to be likable enough to where you're not putting people off, to where they could the trust level goes up. They believe the belief factor is high enough that you can handle their problem. Because again, not everybody is for everybody. None of us are for everybody. And the people listening to this, you're not for everybody either, and that's okay. But when it comes down to the rubber hitting the road and all that stuff, I truly believe people are going to hire you based on their trust level to solve the problem. And certainly being likable helps, but is not the whole thing.
Well, that's the salesman side. You know, you could sell your likability, but the end result of this and realizing this and sharing this, I mean, it really is, you have a skill and the person hiring you, they want you to make their life better. And it's not you, exactly what you're saying. It's not because Tom's cool and Steve's cool. It's what you can actually do for them that's going to make their life better. So that's really the end result. When you really go down to the emotions of the buyer, what does a buyer really want? They want that vision in their head or what you've shared with them to make them feel better, to make their life better. What happens with most contractors is it turns into a nightmare, and what they were hoping for, the feeling, is going sideways. And what's the chart? I mean, I know you've seen it. It's like the emotions that a customer goes through during the construction process, and it breaks it all down. And it's so true. But if you could possibly make that more of a flat line or just a nice little, you know, uptick through the whole thing, and I think that's what we do and teach and train and provide, is such amazing experience. The customer doesn't have to go through the emotional roller coaster.
If likability was enough, answer this question. I'll go first. At least 1,000 is my number. How many times throughout your career, before you really learned how to connect and sell, did people like you and not hire you? I really like you, but I ain't giving you a check.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I don't know, Steve, how many times in your career were you liked but not paid before you really learned how to sell and connect?
10,000.
Yeah.
Derek? 20 years worth. That's 500 people a year told me no because of money. Because and nobody told me no because they hated me. They told me no because I charged 50% more than everybody else.
Yeah. And that's the, I mean, I was getting all kinds of jobs. I thought I was likable, but it turned out I was really cheap. So I'm the opposite end of the spectrum of Steve. Now, for several years now, 4 or 5 years now, I'm on the same level as far as what I charge. You know, I'm still more likable than Steve, so that's better. But I'm charging what Steve would charge. I'm getting no's. I got a no earlier. It was, you know, they wanted this nice little stepping stone, a 50-foot stepping stone from their house down to their boat dock. I quoted them $40,000. I get it. It's hard to put value on that. It's hard to value a 50-foot strip at $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I ran the numbers, and I'm going, okay, if I'm gonna hit 50 points, you know, it cost me to be profitable in 4 days, it cost $11,000. So if I doubled that, $21,000. So immediately for 4 days, I'm at 21. Most people probably don't pay $21,000 for 50-foot of walkway.
Yeah.
And then when I put the money on it and doubled it, I was about 32. Here's where I'm at on the numbers. If I can do it at 32, or if I can do it in 3 days, that would work. But if I go to 5 or 6 days, I need to be at 41.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and it's one of those things. And I know that's a 2-day swing and that's a $10,000 price difference, but I'm not getting screwed on this. And if they say no, I'm okay with that because it could take longer. I'd rather lose the job now than to lose money on the job.
Nothing worse than being tied up in a job you shouldn't be on. So it's
so question.
Yeah.
How many contractors, because of ego, would actually take a job, not really even knowing if they're going to make money or not?
A lot.
Sadly, the majority.
The majority. The majority of it. So,
because they're so proud. So proud.
Let's talk about this likability versus what you know. And it just reminded me when you were talking earlier, Tom, about Malcolm Gladwell, that book he wrote called The Tipping Point. And I think he's the one that talked about the 10,000 hours. Well, in that book, I believe he had a study about Harvard. Harvard lets in, I'm just going to make up these numbers, say 20% of their people that they let into the university, they're not the super smarty pants like you think of Harvard. They're people of color, people of race and religion and sex and all that, so they can have a diverse student population. So 20% of the people, so it's just a number I'm making up, are substandard in the intellectual way, okay? Now, he followed them for 40 years after they graduated from Harvard, all these people, and found out that there was no difference between the 20% they let in just to fulfill a quota versus everybody else who was super smart. And what he concluded is you just need a minimal amount of intellectual smartness to make it big time. And that reminded me of what we're talking about. You can blow it by being unlikable, but you don't have to be the greatest guy on the planet for have people to pick you. You just can't screw it up. You just have to be likable enough. And we all know, and the unfortunate thing is, you should never pick on someone because you like them. You should pick them because of their expertise in an area that you need help in. But that ain't mm-hmm. the way we work. I think if you really track all of humanity, you'd find 90% of every decision ever made was based on likability and not, you know, specification to request for proposal and all that bullshit. So you just have to be likable enough.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 series windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors, probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors like Anderson 400 series windows. Request a quote today at andersonwindows.com.
I'd like to address two other points because I could hear everything y'all were saying about me. I want you to know, if you're listening to me, if you can have two of your friends sit there and so casually talk about how a whole industry hates you or hated you and not even care, that's an amazing thing because I'm subject to peer pressure like everybody else. We all get our feelings hurt. We want to be liked by everybody. So when I early on got up on stage and they all were throwing shit at me and telling me I'm a thief and a ripoff artist and all these other things that you heard out there, for the first time in my life, I didn't really care because I knew what I knew one thing that I never knew before. And I'm standing on stage at 47 years old, something like that, because I knew I just really handed them a mirror. Mm-hmm. They were mad at themselves. Mm-hmm. They were just mm-hmm. looking because there was a guy doing exactly what they're doing, making 10 times the money. And your first idea is it can't be me. It has to be him. He has to be doing something nefarious to make that kind of money. Because if it was that mm-hmm. easy, I would be making it because I'm a smart guy. And so you can't yell at yourself. So you project your anger onto who's ever up on stage. So the fact that I recognize that. And now the worst people call me. And when y'all talk about me like this, it's a badge of honor for me, actually. Instead of having my feelings hurt, it energizes me because I know the real reason behind it all. And then the last thing I want to say, because I just had this thought when you were telling your story about this guy that came out to your house, Tom, and, you know, he just threw up all over you and you didn't like him. I wonder if the three of us and every black belt we have in our group, if when they have a contractor to come to their house, they would just start the conversation with, I just want you to know what I do for a living. And what I do for a living is I train contractors just like you to walk into my home and actually walk out with a deposit check. We teach them what to say, how to say, and when to say it. Oh, by the way, my name's Steve. Glad to meet you. And shut up. And my question directly to both of you, if you were a contractor, walking into somebody's house and they introduce themselves as the coach doing exactly what you're about to do. What do you think the average contractor would do? Totally change up, go with what I just said, or just lock down, go into sales mode and throw up all over them like they know how to do? Which way do you think they would go?
Well, I can't help but think what I would do way back in the day if that were to happen to me. I'll just speak for me personally. I would have interjected humor into that somehow, because I would have been so insecure. I would have said, oh, well, it looks like I'm really under the microscope here today, huh, buddy? Or something stupid like that, you know? Like, I don't know what I would say, to be honest, but I know I would try to, like, make some humor around it. And then the whole time, the old me, many, many years ago, I would be thinking, I got to present the money in a certain way. That's where my mind would have went. I would have made it about the money without it being about the money.
Because in your world, mm-hmm. Tom, at that time, money mm-hmm. was paramount. It was at the top of the pyramid above everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Dirk?
I would just make a total mess of the whole thing and probably throw up, pass out, panic. It would just be a mess. Like a total mess going back, because it was a mess.
Like, now, just to prove the point of change, and I'm reading the most fascinating book called The Switch. Derek, I think you wrote it. You didn't write it, Derek. I know that, but you read it. have you read that book, The Switch, Tom?
Not yet.
Oh, wow. You're going to read that and go, this is us for 8 years mm-hmm. in a row. I mean, it is so us. It's unbelievable. But here's the point I just made. So you guys both told me what you would do 10 years ago had you walked into that situation. Now, because we've trained, literally, we've trained for 8 years, all of us, thousands of role plays. Now, if that happened to you, you walked mm-hmm. into someone's house and they go, and they gave you that same spiel. I'm a contractor coach. Now, what would you say to them after 8 years of training?
Steve, that's pretty cool. Tell me more about that.
Derek, what would you say?
What does that look like?
I dive into the questions and it's just how I do now. And I annoy the hell out of Erin with it because I still can't help but do that when she says something. So it's ingrained in me now. If someone, I am trained like a dog. The bell rings, I salivate. So if someone says something to me, I just go, huh, really? Sometimes that's good enough. And they just immediately go, well, yeah, let me tell you all about this. Whoa, tell me more. This is what I'm starting to learn more and more and more. And Steve, you've done this for years, is lavish praise. I'm noticing how well this works when I'm with a client in their space. Because I do go out for consulting. I really want to go out and get that deposit check. So how can I make them like me? I'll just give them lavish praise on everything they have in their space. Genuine praise. And it's starting to turn around to they're telling me more because I'm just going, that outdoor kitchen is phenomenal. And they just go on and on about the outdoor kitchen. And now it just turns into this thing. And then I can go into my sales mode, my passion, if you will, when I'm on site and go, well, this is how we're going to tie this water feature into this outdoor kitchen that you spend out here with your aunt, your uncle, and your kids. It's up through the whole thing. And now they're like, I'm into it. It's just like, wow. So it's questions will tell you how much money they're going to give you.
So you just segued into, I had on my notes here, next thing I was going to bring up was what makes somebody likable, okay? And I think a lot of times when I was first trained in sales, you guys, what made you likable, if you were to ask me that question, was you go in and you comment on the fish on the wall. Oh, you like fishing, right? And you try to build bond and rapport and all that other stuff, which is important. But like, if I could just get them to like me, like, and I used to do that. Like I connected with a lot of people because of, you know, I'm a Marine Corps veteran and I could find common ground with so many different people. But I think when it went to the next level and the level I want to talk about here as we wind this down is you're likable when you do what you say you're going to do. I think you're likable when you build trust with people and ask good questions like you just talked about that segued into this, Derek, instead of making assumptions about what's important. Like what made that guy that I shared earlier not likable to us was he made it all about him. He asked no questions. He made assumptions. Like we literally asked him at one point, the queen says, how much does something like this cost? He literally goes, that type of finish is way too expensive. He just made an assumption. And so I don't want to go too deep in the weeds, but guys, if you just do what you say you're going to do, like you're going to call a customer at 10 o'clock, call a customer at 10 o'clock. If your website says we reply within 24 hours to all requests, reply within 24 hours. Like if you're going to send the paperwork or do this or do that, all those build trust. And then I think that's all rooted in Derek, what you said to tee this whole transition up here to this was shut your damn mouth and ask a question. Ask an open-ended question. Don't make an assumption and be curious. Just doing that makes it about them. And you guys both know the second you make it about somebody else, your trust factor and likability factor has gone up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't really have to be quote unquote likable or not. You just have to learn how to shut your mouth, ask the right questions mm-hmm. and shut your mouth. Because what happens is that person on the other end feels listened to. And I can promise you, I could count on 10 fingers how many people up until 10 years ago felt listened to by me. And that's out of potentially 100,000 customers that I just threw up on, you know, all through mm-hmm. the pool years and the first 5 years or shit to 10 years on the pawn business and every other business. So you just, you got to give a shit. And we should call it the give a shit foo. You know, instead of the shin foo, this, that's really all it is. But I also want to leave a hard takeaway for everybody that gets in that situation where you walk into someone's house and they go, yeah, I'm a sales consultant. You know, the way to disarm that or get out of that, and this is the same way I disarm and get out of any super tough situation. Like it, this, I did this exact thing when my kid flunked out of college. You know, there's so much you could try to say, but if you just roll reverse with them, just go, and you'd be honest, and because people love it when you're honest. Hey, I don't really know what to say right now, but why don't we do this? Can we switch roles? And you actually play Steve, the contractor, and I'll play you, the customer, and you sell me that $100,000 kitchen. Let's, since you're the consultant, I'd like to learn. I may not get the job, but I'm up for role playing like that. Are you good with that? So what do you think that now that the teacher would do? What would we do? We would turn him right around, go in the kitchen and go, okay, motherfucker, I'm going to take this kid to the woodshed. And if he just plays it right, he'll probably walk out with a check from us. We'll probably sell ourselves into a job, a bigger job, upsell ourselves and give him a big ass check. Because he made it about us. He made it about us.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you just saw a glimpse into Steve's brain. Steve takes the box and flips it upside down, takes a utility knife, cuts the tape, opens the thing up, flattens it up, and throws it away. So there you go. That's what we love about Steve.
That's a good description. You know what my dad used to say? He goes, right when I think I got you backed into a corner, you turn around and kick the walls out.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. Derek, any final takeaways?
I would say just make it about them. Do your best to make it about them. And listen to them and think about what you just heard. Think about it. Don't form an opinion in your mind of what you would do. Just think about what they said.
Good stuff. Well, appreciate you guys hanging today. And those of you that have listened, thank you for that. Share this. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And here's why, you guys. The contracting world needs help. You all know it. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather compete with people that are more on my level than a bunch of bottom feeders or just people that are ignorant about the numbers and the math of business and how to sell and how to connect and how to add value. When we get better all together, the whole industry gets better. That's why we want more people to hear this show. So please share it. Please subscribe. And because subscriptions put it up in front of more people, by the way, that's how that voodoo works. Okay. So listens are great. Subscriptions are better. So subscribe, give it a review, share it with another contractor. And I promise when you're playing the long game like that, you're going to have a much stronger business, much better retirement, a lot more money in the bank, all the stuff that we talked about here. With that, gentlemen, we are out.
Have a good week.
See you guys.